thinking our time of harvest here is shortening all the time because we're not getting the rain that we need to initiate it. So on the 50th day, a celebration was held called the Feast of Pentecost, and they celebrated God's provision to them as the supplier of the harvest, the author of new life through provision of sun and rain to grow the crops, and that's important. Pentecost in the New Testament, the first reference to Pentecost in the New Testament sees the disciples gathered together in Jerusalem after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And Scripture tells us it was the day of Pentecost. 50 days earlier, that 50 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples and basically commissioned them for what was coming, what was ahead. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said to them. And it was though he had sown into them something that would germinate and come to life at a later time. And now here it was. A mighty day of celebration as 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, God's Holy Spirit was released upon them and new life, power and blessing was poured out, just as Peter had explained. As the prophet Joel had said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and it'll come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It became an amazing celebration of God's provision, a new thing he was doing, a new harvest, the new body of Christ, the church. New life was being poured out. And this new life was a power encounter with God's Holy Spirit who was being poured out on the people. And as we heard that reading this morning, it's hard to imagine it all, the power of God manifesting in the way that it did, and people hearing the word of God spoken in their own language. It's extraordinary. This new life was a power encounter with God's Holy Spirit who was being poured out on the people. And we're told that they experienced a mighty wind. Tongues of fire touched them, and many were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it's hard to imagine such a scene unless one has had such an experience. Some of you here may have done so. When God is present in such power, it causes us to sit up and take notice. And certainly here at Church of the Way over the years, there have been such power encounters and the presence of God in such extraordinary manner. And we've been so blessed in that regard. So what is so important about this day, the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit? God's gift, the Holy Spirit, marks the beginning of the Christian life. Paul says the gift of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Christian experience. No one can belong to Christ unless he or she is united with him through the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, we hear, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. What does that say about denominations and the fragmentation of the body? It tells us here that by the Spirit of God we are united together as one body. There is only one church, and that's the Church of Christ, God's church. Not one of us can be a member of the body of Christ, the church, except by being baptized in the Spirit of God. In John 3, Jesus makes it clear that unless and until you or I are born again by the Spirit of God, we can't even see the things of the kingdom, let alone be part of it. I think I've shared with you before, 34 years I was sitting in the church and I didn't have an understanding of this. I didn't have an experience of this. But that all changed. Jesus said, unless one is born again of the Spirit, he cannot see the things of the kingdom of God. Extraordinary statements being made, but they're true. The Holy Spirit is the empowerment of that new birth. And John 6:63, we're told that it's the Spirit who gives life, the Spirit who brings that life. And just like the Pentecost Day celebration of the harvest of the Jewish people, here now was a celebration of the new life that God poured out on his people. And with these first Christians, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that they had been empowered by God. And you may recall that the disciples themselves, when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, they were locked away over the next period of time for that 50 days until the day of Pentecost. And Jesus said to them, well, the power of God will come upon you when that day comes. And here it was. They were frightened, they were concerned about the authorities, and so they'd locked themselves away until that time, and Jesus appeared amongst them. And then the power came on the day of Pentecost. And they were visibly different in the way they behaved. They'd hidden away, and now they were bold and they had the power of God to step forward. The Spirit might be invisible, and we've sung about the Holy Spirit here today. He might be invisible, but his presence is readily seen in the way he manifests in his people. He makes himself known to us if we seek for him and encourage him to come and be part of us. A great unity existed among them all, we're told, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. The second thing is, the Spirit is the power of the new life. Life for a believer, a Christian, is very different from how he or she lived before. Now it's a matter of relationship, not of keeping the law, but of relationship. However, whilst a new birth creates a new believer, that new believer is not suddenly totally transformed into the image of Christ. I think it's an ongoing work. And I often say it's a whole of life policy. We come into an experience of Christ, an experience of the Holy Spirit, and that's an ongoing, as the more we release ourselves to him, the more we change and the more we become like Christ, which is our purpose. Whilst the spirit of a man is no longer a woman, is no longer dependent on this world and standards for meaning and satisfaction, he or she still has human appetites and frailty as part of human society. So we're not suddenly complete and perfect and holy. It's a process. It's a working process. To have the Spirit is to experience a life of tension and conflict between the old life that we live and the new life that God is calling us to. There's a conflict between flesh and spirit. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience. Paul himself says, "Wretched man that I am, I want to do this right thing. And what do? I do the wrong thing." And so often we experience that ourselves in the process of transformation. And Paul in Ephesians 4 speaks of the tension of living in this in-between place. And he says, "Don't live as the ungodly do anymore, for they are hopelessly confused," he says. "Their closed minds are full of darkness. They're far away from the life of God because they've shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care about right or wrong, and they've given themselves over to immoral ways. However, that's not what you learned when you turned to Christ," he says. "Since you have learned all about him and heard the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and way of life. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are now a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy and true." So we're a work in progress. Paul goes on in chapter 8 to explain that the way to receive this new life is to walk and live according to the power of God's Spirit now living within us. That's pretty extraordinary. We have the Holy Spirit living within us to enable us, to guide us and direct us in the path that God wants for us. The indwelling Spirit is the power which bears witness to Christ Jesus himself. And Jesus said, "But when the help of the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he will tell you of me. And in response, you then will tell others about me." So our process is to come into that place of relationship with God, with Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in order that we become this new being that God's called us to be, and so that we can encourage others to come into that same place. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son that none should perish, but that all should come to that place of experience of him and relationship with him. Come into that place of becoming Christians, Christ followers. The spirit of community and of Christ is a major feature of the Spirit, and that he can be experienced by all who call upon him and that he works through all. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the benefit of all." So another important factor is that we are not simply becoming Christians for our own benefit, but for the benefit and purpose of others. We're called into service. We're called into a place of acknowledgement of Christ in order that we might be living a new life. But that new life is an example to others of how people can come into that place themselves. Paul goes on, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Paul teaches that it's this that makes a group united as one body. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. That's why I believe here we experience that extraordinary oneness in Christ, so evident when we have the peace greeting. And it's the love of Christ poured out into our hearts. That is that by that one Spirit. And we know and experience that because it's his Spirit living in each one of us. And we have that interaction. And I think that's why Paul encourages all to express themselves through the various gifts that God gives. God gives many gifts, he says, but it's the same Spirit or the same Lord who gives. These gifts are given by God as he chooses to be used for him. And I think this is a vital issue for us to understand as God's church. The empowering experience of God's Holy Spirit can be a very heady thing for us. And I mentioned before, we've had an experience of the power of God touching us in this place in past times, and can be a very heady thing. But we can easily believe that such an experience is for our benefit and purpose. And of course, it is this that awakens us to God. But the church belongs to God. The church is his. We are his people. Jesus became the head of the body at the cross. And the primary purpose of his body on earth is to extend his kingdom. And that's what we're about, you and I. We're about his purpose, extending his kingdom on this earth. A little later on, toward the end of the service today, we're going to hear about Hope 25, which is an expression through the Anglican Church across Australia of what it is to have hope in Christ. And we'll see a little bit more about that later on. But it's all about him. So this is evident in what happened on the day of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit which came upon them was so that they would accept Jesus and then be witnesses of his salvation to the whole world. And just like that Pentecost celebration on the day of Pentecost, the celebration of the Jews who celebrated God's provision of new crops and harvest, this was a celebration of new birth as many people came to new life through the Holy Spirit's baptism empowering. 3,000 new members were added on that day. How would that be for us here? Fill and overflow the place. But I want to say all of this is of God. Every experience we have as part of the body is to bring us closer to Christ. We are called to be like him and to do for him. And that's why the empowering of the Holy Spirit is vital. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. When I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And when he comes, he will teach you all about me. He will teach you all about me. So how do we experience this Holy Spirit connection? Well, you may be here today as part of the congregation and never had or taken the opportunity to commit your heart and life to God. Now, looking around, I have my doubts about this. But I live in hope that maybe one or two people might be here who haven't done this. Perhaps you've never thought it was a good or an appropriate thing to do or even something you needed to do. But I want to say to you, if this is you, then you'll need to make up your mind this day to ask God's forgiveness for your sin, to say sorry to him that you've never done so before and ask him to be your Lord and Saviour by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is possible for us without God's empowering Holy Spirit. To be a Christian, we must be born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit to receive this new life. And it's not a fact that because mum and dad went to church or suggested it's a good idea and sent us off to Sunday school. It's not a fact because they went to church that I'm a Christian or I believe I'm a good person or I do good things and that makes me a Christian. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the only way we're going to make the kingdom at the end of our lives is through Jesus and acceptance of him as our Saviour. Paul in Romans 10 states, "For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." If you've never accepted Jesus as your Saviour, I want to offer you that opportunity right now in this short prayer. And perhaps if you'd like to close your eyes for a moment, I want to share this prayer. And if you feel you'd like to make this commitment, either silently or out loud, then I encourage you to follow through. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And at this point, commit anything that God might show you that is not right in your relationship with him at this moment, and commit that to him and ask his forgiveness for those things that he might show you. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me the gift of your Spirit to be with me. I now receive him into my heart. Lord, please come into my life by the power of your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Amen. Amen. A word to any who have just done this for the first time. Congratulations. You've committed your heart and life to the Lord. And in scriptural terms, you are now a Christian. Once we've repented and accepted Jesus into our hearts as in that prayer, it's the Holy Spirit who God gives us, who enables us to live this new life by helping us to overcome sin in our lives. So God's not just a good idea. God is a God who wants to live in us and through us, to lead us and guide us into all truth. And certainly this world needs truth. We're in a place where anything goes today. And I think anything goes because we've lost sight of God. We've lost sight of the absolutes that God's given us. God's Holy Spirit empowering and gifting is not for personal gain or benefit, although that's part of it, but it is to be used for the glory of God in the way we live our lives, in the way we speak of Jesus to others around us. As I mentioned before, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that none should perish, but that all should receive eternal life. I'm sure none of us wants to be guilty of a fact of not sharing Jesus with someone who may go to hell because they don't know of him or have not accepted him. And so we need to be mindful of who we are as God's people. How do we experience God's Holy Spirit power? Well, I want to remind us all that Christianity is all about Jesus and being just like him. There is no deeper desire in God's heart for us than for each one of us to be transformed into the likeness of his Son. And as we draw closer to God, more of his life can be seen in us, and the more able we are to live the life of Jesus more fully. How do we draw closer to God? Prayer opens us to God and to the resources of the Holy Spirit. Like a watch, life tends to run down and needs rewinding, we're told. Prayer rewinds the springs of life by opening our spirits to the Holy Spirit's work in us. And I guess it's a reminder to us essentially that we need God's power to live his way. Paul in Romans 8 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So when we struggle to live this Christian life, it's usually because we're endeavouring to do it our own way rather than asking God to help us by the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. We often forget. We turn to all sorts of other resources rather than turn to him. And he should be our first recourse. Turn to him first and ask him to help us. And his promise is that he will do that. The Spirit helps us, especially so when we pray and cry out to God. We are called to be holy just as he is holy. And again, as I mentioned earlier on, it's a process, it's a work of life. We are in that way of becoming more and more like Jesus, moment by moment, day by day. That new way of life. Holiness is to be full of Jesus. Hebrews 12:14 says to us, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. A strong statement. A tall order, but holiness is God's purpose for us as his children. He wants us to be different to the world around us. He wants us to be significant so that people can identify him through us. Holiness is not a passive state, but involves us actively living God's way, doing what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. The Holy Spirit is God's own spirit of holiness given to all of those who desire to follow him. Holiness is not me, as I mentioned, trying to make myself a better person, but me allowing God to live out his life in and through me to his glory. A person may be truly born again because he or she has faith in Jesus, but that doesn't always mean that he has allowed the Holy Spirit to direct his ways. And one of the most difficult things for us to do is to let go and let God have his way. We are fiercely independent. We pride ourselves so often in being this independent person. And yet it's opposite to what God has for us. He wants us to be dependent upon him so that we can be the people he wants us to be and live in the way he wants us to live so that others too may come to an exciting discovery of him. We can only walk in holiness when we allow God to have his way in cleaning us up and encouraging us to be all that he desires we should be. God wants us to have a heart on fire with love for him so that he can bring his life to others. And again, it's all about him and doing things his way. So I want to encourage you to remember that Pentecost is about God's empowering of us to be his people and to allow that be your purpose each and every day as you commit yourselves to him. So let's pray. Father, again we thank you for the day of Pentecost, the day, Lord God, that your power fell in such an extraordinary manner and touch so many people's hearts. And Lord, it's the same Holy Spirit that we experience today, all those years ago, Lord. Your same Holy Spirit is still resident and present and active and so desiring, Lord God, to lead us and guide us to become the people that you have determined us to be. So we want to thank you for your gift. Father, we want to say sorry for the times when we fail to call upon you, because your heart's desire is to teach us and lead us and guide us. And so we commit ourselves once again to you, Father. And we pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would continue to lead and guide us and show us the way. For our heart's desire is to honour you in all ways and bring glory to your name and to extend your kingdom upon earth, just as you determined we should do. And so we commend and commit ourselves to you, Lord, right now. And we thank you for your wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.